time when I came to faith in Christ in February 29th, 1992, because I encountered my past in the time of the altar, and that all of these things that I had done before just came to mind as God's forgiveness washed over me. And so I was able to lay all these things down, and through sobbing and boogery pouring out and bawling and all of these things at the altar, that God brought to mind all of these things. And yet I understood, even in that moment, and like it felt like an eternity in the altar, but it was probably just a few minutes, where God's forgiveness had just washed over me. That encountering my past made me very much aware of how great his forgiveness was. So the Spirit escorts Scrooge on a journey into the past to previous Christmases from his earlier years. Scrooge revisits his childhood days in school, his apprenticeship with a jolly merchant named Fezziwig, or in this version, Fozziwig, and his engagement to Belle, a woman who eventually leaves Scrooge because his love of money was greater than his love for her. Scrooge is moved to tears by both the joy and the regret of his experiences. Now, maybe we all feel the same way when we think about past Christmases. Sometimes you ever look back in past Christmases and there's some that really stand out in a good way and some that might stand out in a bad way. There's memories that fill us with happiness and maybe memories that we would just as soon forget. Sometimes those memories are captured in our decorations themselves. And I don't know if you go through this like we do every year. So when we decorate our Christmas tree, we trot out the box of ornaments. And over the years, we've amassed quite a few, most of them handmade little precious things. And so as we open each thing or each box, there's a recollection of why we might have received this thing, a gift from somebody that we don't have in our lives anymore. Or maybe they're ornaments that mark rites of passage, like baby's first Christmas, or, you know, when Tom and I were first married, we have that ornament of the two of us together. And each year, we hang them, and it's kind of a walk down memory lane. In our particular box of ornaments, we have two that always stand out, and people want to fight on hanging them on the tree. The one is the Christmas pig. Did they call it the Christmas pig? For some reason, it's some weird little ornament that a friend of my mother's gave me, and every year everybody wants to hang this little wooden pig on the tree. And then we had found one at Yankee Candle of Santa Claus in a bathtub. And it's just, you know, he's like happy and in a bathtub. And every year the kids want to hang Santa in a bathtub on the tree. But just putting up the tree can be a trip down memory lane. And of course, the good old days of Christmas aren't always good. The things that we remember are sometimes balanced out with some of the difficult ones. An example from our own family would be Tom's grandfather's death was at Christmas, and so that's something that is brought up every year. There's also family stresses. You know, for the longest time, a couple years ago, I had my gallbladder removed. And what happened every year is, is that I would have all this pain in my abdomen. And Tom always attributed it to the stress of knowing my family was coming over for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I was like, no, it's not that, it's not that. But ultimately, I think what it was all the rich food I was eating at the same time, all the cookies and cakes and yummy things and cheesecake, and that would set my gallbladder off. But there was this kind of strange relationship between going through the holidays and having this pain in my abdomen. So I don't know if anybody else experiences anything like that. Maybe you were still right. But like Scrooge, we can be moved to tears by both the joy or maybe even the regret of the past. And that's the kind of power our memories have over us. Our past can shape how we perceive the present and how we move forward into the future. For Scrooge, his complex past shaped who he was and how he lived, as his love for money, developed at an early age, hardened his heart and his ability to love others. The only thing he loved was his money, which became a most empty idol. And the past has the same power for Joseph. The scripture that I read in the beginning in the Gospel of Matthew, he was committed to be married to Mary, only to find out when she returns from a trip that she's 4 months along in pregnancy. And he's told was initiated by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that first conversation? Honey, I've got some good news and some bad news. Well, the bad news is I'm pregnant and you're not the father. The good news is nobody is anybody else. So if you were Joseph, how do you respond to this? He wasn't quite sure what happened with Mary, and he only knew it had nothing to do with him. So he faces the decision. One of the most important decisions probably faced by anyone in the Bible. What am I supposed to do with Mary and this unborn child? So we're told that Joseph was a righteous man, which means that in Jewish tradition, he was a faithful follower of God's law. So that law that he was well familiar with gave him lots of options. He could follow what was laid out in Deuteronomy 22, which says, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. So one of Joseph's options was to expose Mary's apparent transgression and have her stoned to death. What do you think of that? But by the New Testament times, that punishment was rarely meted out. So the only other option Joseph faced, according to the law, was divorce. No matter how much he might have loved Mary, it was his religious obligation to end the relationship and sever the marriage contract. He could honor the shaming dictated by the law and expose her sin, apparent sin, through a public divorce, humiliating her in front of her family and friends and leaving her future in question. Or he could divorce her quietly with only a few witnesses, doing everything he could to keep both his and Mary's reputation intact, which is what Scripture tells us he had decided to do. But he simply couldn't stay with her, right? This is just a mess for him. As far as he knows, he would be forever defined by this transgression, and it wasn't even his. From this point forward, he'll be known as the guy whose soon-to-be wife got pregnant. It only took a split-second act to change his life for the worse, and he didn't even change. He wasn't even part of it. So maybe you know a lot of people whose lives have been changed by one bad decision. I know I have. Just this past week, I had done a funeral for a young man who died at 33. And when speaking to the stepfather, he was telling me all about how great this young man was and how fabulous he was and loved his kids and worked hard and had a great work ethic. But he ended the whole conversation with this one phrase, but he made one bad decision. Now, the ultimate penalty, of course, is that he lost his life for this. Sometimes we don't lose our lives in the physical, but we definitely lose them in the spiritual or in the emotional because we make one bad decision. That's all it takes sometimes. We all have at least one thing, I would imagine, in our past that we regret. A memory that haunts us, a decision we would give anything to undo. Even if we've survived the consequences of our actions, we still know that it happened and we can never go back and change it. The power of the past. So Scrooge weeps with regret when he realizes how his greed and idolatry ruined his relationships. Joseph agonizes over what to do about his situation, whether to follow the laws of the past or trust what the angel is telling him about the future. One is a complete known. He knows this. The other takes faith, right? The trusting in what the angel has told him. Do we have to be who we've been? Do we have to believe what the laws say about us? Are we beholden to the ways of the past? There's good news for us, just as there was for Scrooge and for Joseph. The God we worship is not only the God of the future and the God of the present, but God is a God of the past, right? God is present in each time period, which means God's forgiveness stretches backward. Amen? Covering our past actions and altering how they shape our lives. We are not who we were. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen! Glory to God. We can choose to act like we are, to act as if the mistakes we've made still plague us, still define us. And that's part of what I talked about last week. Sometimes we create these scenarios in our lives that become an idol to us because they define everything about us. They begin to define how we respond to things and how we see ourselves because we've set them up as the important thing instead of setting God as the ultimate teller of truth. So we begin to look to the past and how we define, how we view ourselves, that mirror that is put up. But we have a choice. We can have hope. We can have hope that God can work through our past, right? To redefine our present and open up our future. Hope that we are not limited to either staying the same or running from the past. Has anybody here ever run from the past, thinking that somehow if we just tuck it up on a shelf somewhere, we don't have to worry about it? We know that it happened, and we just kind of take it and put it somewhere. Or worse yet, just continually move from one place to the next, constantly trying to run away from something that happened in the past. But through God, we no longer have to run. We have hope that God presents another option to help us claim who we were as a part of becoming who God wants us to be. So yes, we've made mistakes. Anyone? All right. I knew somebody here that used to attend the church, and she'd say, "How come you don't say sin?" I don't know what to tell you, because sometimes we are intentionally sinful, but mistakes is sin. Sin, mistakes, anything that pulls us away from God is sin, okay? The mistakes that we made, though, whether or not we qualify them as sin, are still forgiven, right? God forgives sin. He forgives the mistakes that we make. I like to say mistakes. It's much more vernacular, but when we're walking away from God, it's sin. They don't have to be the whole story, these things that we've done. Scrooge let himself be defined by his past. Everything that he experienced, now I'm not going to show you the whole movie, obviously, but if you know the story at all, he goes back and he looks at his whole past to see how Christmas was defined as a painful time. And he began to hate the whole idea of Christmas because he was left behind in his school. And then because he was broke and didn't have control, he wanted to hold on to money and hold on to money and hold on to money. And it became defining for him instead of freeing for him. So he let himself be defined by the past, but that's only one part of his story. So we can reframe our past regrets as a small part of a larger story of forgiveness and growth. And that includes forgiving ourselves. I think that's the hardest thing. We understand that people can forgive us. We understand that God can forgive us. But we so oftentimes cannot even forgive ourselves for some of the things that we've done. I meet regularly with a group of other pastors. And as we share our stories over and over again, I see how the pain of choices in the past get a hold of us. There's oftentimes tears in sharing things that we have gone through in the past because the pain of it still exists. There's a regret. We wish we could change these things, but honestly, God works to the good of all those who love him. And those things that we experience define who we are now and define who we will be in the past if we allow God to use them and change us. So we need to be able to forgive ourselves from all of these things in order to move forward. God has something greater planned for us. So for Scrooge, the ghost of Christmas past reminded him of the pain his actions caused as a way of kind of setting the stage for him to look forward. For Joseph, in our scripture story today, the angel shows him that this one action of Mary's pregnancy, in all appearances, it seems like a transgression, right? But the angel says, no. From what they understand, this pregnancy, so condemned by society, doesn't have to keep him from doing the right thing. For us, the birth of the Christ child brings with it the hope that our past doesn't have to be our present. Amen? And that our future is pregnant with the possibilities God has for us. Just like Mary is pregnant in this story, expectant of the Christ child, our future is pregnant with possibilities that only God can wrought out of what we have done in the past. For many of us, Christmas is a mixed bag of emotions. While a season is meant to be joyous and delightful, sometimes we're burdened by memories of loved ones no longer with us. Sometimes we're weighed down by grief or guilt. We don't know how we can move forward because of what we've done or what others have done to us. So what will Christmas bring us this year? More painful memories? You know, I read this analogy this past week. When you're driving in the car, we have a rearview mirror. How big is the rearview mirror? How big is the windshield? Amen? So we can spend our time focusing on this little tiny glimpse of where we've come from, or we can spend our time looking out this big glorious window of what God has for us. Will we look ahead through the windshield at the hope that the Christ child brings this year? Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it," right, being perfect, "but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past." Say, forgetting the past. Yes, and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. That is what we have to look. We have to be mindful of it, right? I'm always saying be mindful of where you've come from so that you can be grateful for your salvation. When I look back through that little tiny window, I realize how much God has brought me through. And I am so grateful for it. But I am not going to set all of my time in looking back, because God has so much more in the future. So Scrooge still has two more ghosts to go before his transformation is complete. But the beauty is that ours can start right now. Right now. You are not who you used to be. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You don't have to be a prisoner to the past. With God's help, you can start writing your new story. Now, I want to, again, before I went to bed last night, I was reading in 1 Timothy, and I just want to share this passage with you, because it just spoke to me, because I'd already written the sermon, and I had gone over my notes before bed, and then I was reading the scripture, and it's so perfect. It's in 1 Timothy, and beginning in verse 12. It says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." Are you grateful to God that he calls you, right? Do you know that, like Paul is saying, look what I have done, and yet God has called me to serve him. It's amazing. In verse 13, he says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." Do you know that a lot of the things that you've done in the past were due to the fact that you didn't have a relationship with God? Maybe you were walking in ignorance and unbelief and denying the existence of God. For me, a lot of my choices were based that I didn't have any faith in God at all. I didn't even believe he existed. So whatever I did had no consequence as far as I was concerned. But I didn't think that I would be, I didn't see my 50-plus-year-old self looking back going, ooh, there were consequences. Right? In the middle of it, it's always consequences. "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." All right, here's he setting it up. Check it out, people. Listen to this thing. Hold fast. It's trustworthy. Hold on to it. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason," say that with me. "But for that very reason," okay? He's saying, because of everything that I've done, because of who I was, because of my past, "for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." That is what God can do through our past. "For that very reason." And then in verse 17, I think my eyes are blurry. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's the beauty of it. is that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So with God's help, you can start writing your new story today. Keep your eyes on the windshield and look at all that God has planned for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, O Lord, that your grace abounds, that your mercies are new each and every day. Oh, hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord, that our paths do not define us, God, but they have created us in who we are today, but that, God, you can use these things, God, to your glory. That's the amazing part, God. As we look back, we can see your hand upon every moment of our lives, leading us and drawing us. And that, God, through these painful experiences that we might have had, even the glorious ones, God, that you can use all of these things to your glory. And that, God, we are believing in faith, God, for greater things, Lord. May we continually have our eyes fixed on the future, knowing that you are using our past to bring us to a greater story, a greater future, Lord, using these things and having us stand upon them, God, and moving forward like stepping stones, God, that they are under our feet, but they are moving us and projecting us forward into greater things in you. And so, God, we thank you for your mercy, your amazing grace poured out in Christ Jesus, God, and that for these very reasons, God, that your mercies are poured out upon us. And so we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor and blessing this morning, God, because you can do all things, Lord, through these experiences, God. And we trust and have faith that you are bringing us to the end of whatever this story is, God, but it doesn't end today. And God, that it can be rewritten as of today, God. A new trajectory, a new end would be in mind, God, as we commit our lives anew to you today. So be with us, God, as we just in our hearts, even now, just reclaim our salvation today, God. May that fire that burned when we first came to faith continue to burn brighter today, God, and that we would understand, God, that you have a great and mighty purpose for us, O Lord. We thank you, God. We commit our lives to you this day in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. The Savior born in Bethlehem, the hope of the world. Amen. Amen. All right, be blessed, church.